I just want to do like a... It might overwhelm you. I don't know. I don't know that my voice is that great. Anyway, let all things living now sing and rejoice. How beautiful. Above my desk at home is a watercolor illustration, one of the Story People pieces by Brian Andreas. I don't know if any of you are familiar with him. It is a character. It's kind of a watercolory blob-looking thing that, with what looks like a pair of wings on the back of it, sort of, and an arm that is high, holding this colorful, dangling string of baubles. And it reads, "In my dream, the angel shrugged and said, 'If we fail this time, it will be a failure of imagination.' And then she placed the world gently in the palm of my hand." In my dream, it reads, the angel shrugged and said, "If we fail this time, it will be a failure of imagination." And then she placed the world gently in the palm of my hand. And I often find myself staring at it and thinking, no pressure. Just a failure of imagination. In fact, it doesn't say fail at what necessarily, though there is the world in the palm of the hand. But I add this weight to his words, I think, because the stakes feel very high just now for so many things. If we fail this time, it will be a failure of imagination. So here's some of my thinking about this. In these days of high stakes, of what feels like unprecedented political discourse, if we can call it that, that we can hardly make sense of interracial tensions in our country, of acts of terrorism in the world at large, of climate changes wreaking global havoc, not to mention the load of our own lives' stresses, concerns about money or health, parents or teenagers, our own individual overwhelms, all of which weigh on us and are not least of all of the above. We need, I think, moments of respite like now, like today, to sit and breathe together and lay our burdens down for a time. But I've actually been thinking that we need it every day. Imagine our relief if we each rested physically, emotionally, and even spiritually every day. Now, there may be some among you who do have a rest practice on a daily basis. And for those of you who may not have it but aspire to it, I would be happy to meet with you all here at 10:30 every day, not just Sunday. Though for many of us, that might not fit our schedules. What is a well-intentioned, thoughtful, and ever-seeking Unitarian Universalist to do? Our sources tell us, of course, and those would be the six sources from which we draw wisdom and that are listed in the beginning of your hymnal, to seek wisdom in the traditions that have informed humankind for hundreds, if not thousands of years, wisdom from the world's religious traditions and from Jewish and Christian teachings, which is why our reading was present this morning from the Hebrew scriptures, from the prophet Micah. When Micah says in his message to the everyday folks suffering the events of the 8th century BCE, not quite 3,000 years ago, times of suspect leadership and international instability, of shifting demographics due to immigrant relocations, I wonder if any of this sounds familiar. and no doubt the stresses and strains of everyday living. When Micah says that we know what will help set things right, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with the spirit of love that resides within you, might we feel some resonance with his suggestions? It is all practice, of course, doing justice or our best shot at it, living lives of kindness to our best abilities. Discovering these two alone can take an enormous amount of time in and of themselves. But then, to walk humbly with your God, he says, framed perhaps more accessibly, to walk humbly with the spirit of love that resides in each of us. What does that look like? And will that help us with our capacity for imagination? How might that inform our need for and our coming to times of rest? We are wound so tightly. That's what I see in our world. If you read the article that I linked in this week's e-news about humble pie, you will recall the words from David Anderson's book, Breakfast Epiphanies, in reference to a Sabbath practice. Anderson writes, "We live in a world where such attentiveness to mind and spirit is not merely undervalued, it is nearly forbidden. The market values workers who will get out crazy hours and call it commitment, take a pill instead of a rest. The stores are always open. We are always working. At something, I would suggest, gainful employment or volunteer endeavors, shepherding parents or children or friends, gardens or causes. Our state of busyness has less to do with the state of our employment, I think, than our habits. The Sabbath, taking the time to rest and imagine what it is to humbly walk with the spirit of love that resides in each of us. We need Sabbath. We need it so badly." Several years ago, I think it was, the Sabbath shuffle was introduced here. Remember? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, rest. 1, 2, 3, 4. I make, in my thinking of Sabbath, an often predictable mistake. I link the practice of rest, which is one way the Hebrew word Shabbat is translated, with the practice of prayer. When I feel encouraged to honor the Sabbath, my sort of knee-jerk reaction is often to assume that praying is involved somehow. Observant Jews, for example, are encouraged to pray 3 times daily. And I am reminded of the Muslim practice of praying 5 times a day. And our Catholic friends pray often at morning and noon, at evening, and at nighttime. These are all practices of Sabbath, of rest from daily life and concerns. So years ago, I heard the Reverend Bill Sinkford preach, as some of you may have, this past June. He offered the sermon at the Service of the Living Tradition at our General Assembly this year. I'm sure that that sermon I heard years ago was a thoughtful and strong piece of work. I think it was. But what I really remember best was not his pastoral or prophetic words, but his practice of offering an invitation. "Will you pray with me?" he asks. And every time I hear it, and I have heard it numerous times since then, I find myself thinking, well, of course. You asked so nicely, after all. You make it sound so inviting. The word prayer is not uncomfortable for me, but in my imagination, even the most committed atheist, for whom prayer holds little sway, might well say, "Oh, well, yes, I can do that," because of the way he has been invited. It is an invitation to possibility, a kind of cleanliness in a way, and I think it rings true because it feels humbly offered, so it is believable. Nothing is being sold or required. It's just an invitation, and it's lovely, and it feels restful. But in truth, a Sabbath practice does not require prayer. I was reminded of this when I was researching a bit more about traditional concepts of Sabbath. We see the idea of rest, for example, in Genesis, when the Creator takes the seventh day to rest and observe all that has been accomplished. But we also see it in Exodus, when Moses receives the commandments. In modern America, I read, we take the five-day work week so much for granted that we forget what a radical concept a day of rest was in ancient times. The weekly day of rest has no parallel in any other ancient civilization. In ancient times, leisure was for the wealthy and the ruling classes only, never for the serving or laboring classes. It's really all about freedom, I was reminded. Slaves did not get days off. Thus, by resting on Shabbat, we are reminded that we are free, my reading reminded me, from our weekday concerns, from our deadlines and schedules and commitments. During the week, we are slaves to our jobs, to our creditors, to our need to provide for ourselves. On Shabbat, we are freed from these concerns, much as our ancestors were freed from slavery in Egypt. A reminder, therefore, for us, of all that holds us captive. I wonder what holds you these days, captive to a constant drum. Are you able to put it down at least once a week? Might you be able to try once a day? Make it a prayer if you like, but mostly just rest. I noticed an article recently about a woman who had to build a separate cabin on her small piece of property where she goes to disconnect. No electricity, no computers, no phones. But it required a separate cabin. A card I received recently has an illustration of a camel with a big fish on top. Sometimes we are like fish out of water. It feels so unfamiliar. Hafiz wrote, first, the fish needs to say, something ain't right about this camel ride. And I'm feeling so thirsty. Why is it so hard for us to remember that moments of quiet might call us back to our better selves, to the selves that we have that have the energy to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with the spirit of love that is inside of each of us? It is not a new concept that we need it. But like fish out of water, we forget. Anderson reminds us from Breakfast Epiphanies, we either flatter or deceive ourselves if we believe we are the first generation to struggle so painfully with the balance of work and rest. There's a reason why keeping the Sabbath is one of the ancient Ten Commandments. It is a perennially new concept to observe it. How much more so to try to observe it daily? Gandhi said, faith is not something to grasp, but a state to grow into. May we grow together in wisdom and love, in joy and compassion, with rest as our guide, or one of them at least. Renewed and refreshed, we come back to our being with a different and more imaginative resolve as we hold the world in the palm of our hands. So may it be. And amen.